Glad to have everybody. All right, we'll get started here. If you have your Bibles this morning, we can go ahead and open up this morning. We're in the book of Jeremiah, and this morning we're in chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18 this morning. And our lesson is to cover, I don't know, about five chapters. So we'll just kind of look at a few highlights here real quickly on a couple of matters and do that. Well, does anybody have something you'd like to share with us this morning? Something good, something uplifting, maybe something positive. It's cooler, right? It's almost like it's dark outside this morning. Anybody? Somebody got a blessing to share? No blessed people here today. Anybody got something you'd like to share? Maybe something good happened this week in your life? No? It's a sad group of people this morning. I agree. I think hospitals are overrated. Everybody, every time you go in a hospital, you ever notice they have all these awards on the wall and they're number one and this and this and this. And I mean, if you're that great, why we got so many sick people in here? But anyway, anybody want to share anything this morning? Anybody? Okay, we'll have a word of prayer. And before we get started this morning, I'm sure there's many prayer requests this morning. And I'm sure Brother... this morning in our service, we'll kind of give that opportunity for everybody to pray. I know there's a lot of needs in our church. Several people have been in the hospital and having tests run, and let's not forget those. Miss Deborah, remember her? Any update on her, Brother Yandel?
She goes back to find out.
Okay, so. Right. Okay. Okay, so please remember her in a word of prayer. And then also Ms. Freeman. I think my wife said she thought she might try to be here today. I kind of have my doubts about that, but continue to remember her in prayer. And I'm sure there's others, and I don't want to miss anybody. But if you have something special you'd like to mention this morning for prayer, I'll give you that opportunity. Anybody? Amy, is she still in the hospital? Okay, all right. I do remember Brother R telling me that. Anybody else? Just real quickly, we'll pray. Anybody? I'm sorry. Okay, all right. How are they doing? Right. And Mom's taking care of him. Yeah. That is hard in life when you're have a loved one that's sick and you have to take care of them. That's not an easy task either. Anybody else? I'm sorry. All right, pray for her. She goes to another specialist. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Anybody? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer here, and we'll pray for these, and no doubt I'm sure there's others that have needs this morning. We'll pray for those. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for this, Lord, this opportunity that we can have, that we can be in this place in this hour, that we can come together, that we can take the next few moments and open up your word. We can read, and Lord, we can meditate and study on what you have for us this morning, and I pray that you'll bless in this hour, and Lord, I pray that you'll help us not only in this hour, but in the service this morning, that you would bless in a special way. We do, Lord, want to come to you this morning and ask for, Lord, ask for your help in the lives of these that have been mentioned this morning. Lord, those that are not feeling well, those that are weak, those that are sick this morning, those who have tests, those who are waiting for results. And we just pray for them that you would, Lord, give healing in their life. Lord, if it's your will, we do pray for the different doctors and those who are, Lord, trying to help them, that you would give them wisdom and that you would help them as they help our loved ones that are in physical need this morning. We do pray for them. We uplift them, and Lord, ask for your help in their life. We do pray, Lord, for our country, Lord, for our nation. Lord, it's a difficult day that we live in, and we just pray for the leadership of our country, that you would give wisdom, guidance, leading, and directing. Lord, we do pray for each and every life that's present this morning as we go out into this week and this week that lies ahead, that you would guide, lead, and direct us and help us, Lord, to do our part and to do your will that you have and for the purpose that you have in our life, that you would guide, lead, and direct in our steps that we take this week. We do pray, Lord, for the lost that need to be saved. We pray that you would help us once again to, Lord, to be a good witness unto those that may be or without Christ, and we pray that you would help us to be able to direct them, to show them their need of salvation. And we do pray for the salvation of the lost before it's eternally too late. We pray now that you bless the next few moments that we have as we study from your word. We pray that you guide, lead, and direct in our hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Jeremiah, we're in chapter number 18 this morning, and we'll get into our lesson here. Chapter 18 for me, may be the most well-known chapter in the book of Jeremiah. It's maybe not the most well-known verse. I think it's chapter, I can't remember what chapter has the most well-known verse in it, but this chapter to me is probably the most well-known. In this chapter, you'll find the illustration of the potter and the potter's wheel and the clay and molding of that clay into a vessel that is able to be used, and we're going to get into that in just a few moments. But before we do that, let's not forget that the, in fact, even in the illustration of the clay and the potter, I think sometimes is a little misunderstood of the purpose of it. It's describing the people of Israel. They're going to actually be the clay. The potter's God, and we know that. But sometimes we kind of look at it as the clay is us. But and it's nothing wrong with kind of using that in that way, but you have to understand it's actually a prophetic illustration as well, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But we have to understand that Jeremiah is the man of God. He is the one that's going to deliver the message of God. We cannot over-illustrate this enough. In fact, it's amazing in the book of Jeremiah. For instance, if your Bible's open there, in chapter 17, I'm just going to kind of pick out a few verses here. Verse number 19, it says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me." You get to chapter number 18, verse number 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying..." You get down to verse number 5 in chapter 18. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." So over and over, you can go over to chapter number 19. It starts out verse number 1, "Thus saith the Lord." So over and over, you'll find in the book of Jeremiah, God speaking to Jeremiah and giving him a message that he is to take and deliver it unto the people of God. Now, I can't over... emphasize the importance here of making sure we understand how important it is that the man of God delivers the message of God. I think we live in a day and age where many have easily gotten away from searching what God would have them to give to the people. We live in an entertainment generation of people. Even religion has steered off away from the message of God unto entertainment. And trying to entertain people and trying to come up with new creations of how to draw people into a church or how to do things in life to create maybe an interest in the community for a person to come to that church and so forth. And I understand we ought to use every tool available to try to reach people, but we have to understand the most important thing in the ministry of God is the message of God. It's not going to do you a lot of good to draw people in if you don't have a message to give unto them. And I'm afraid often it's easy to get sidetracked in life as a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, to get off into trying to create a message that would be a draw to people. What we need is a message from God. And every man of God has the responsibility of getting a message from God to deliver unto the people. And by the way, that's not an easy task. I mean, if you've ever had to come up with a sermon or a lesson or so forth, I mean, it takes time in putting a message together. And a lot of time is spent on that. And it should be. That ought to be one of the, a pastor ought to be, a lot of his time ought to be consumed with coming up with the message that he feels like God would have him give unto the people. And God may use things or events that happen in that person's life. Often, I think that would be true. But it's important that we stress here, and it's not really a part of the lesson, but over and over in the book of Jeremiah, you're going to find the statements that says, "Thus saith the Lord." And that is very, very key. We've got to have the message of God to help people that are in harm's way. Now, God is upset with the people of God. We've talked about this for weeks now, how that God is upset with them in their worship. They had turned away from God unto idol worship, pagan worship, sacrificing of their own children, a lot of weird thoughts. It even describes in the book of Jeremiah how that some would come up with an image and call that their God, and how crazy it is. It may be made out of wood. Then they put they fashion it into an image that they want it to look like, and they put gold on it, and they put silver on it. It can't talk. In fact, if it's to move, you have to pick it up and move it because it can't walk. And how silly it is that people have actually turned to something like that. Now, as their worship turned away from God, their lifestyles turned away from God. They become very wicked in the way they live their life. They live their life every single day, and you'll find it even in the chapters we're about to read, that they would just live life to any imagination of their evil heart. I mean, whatever their heart desired to do, they were able to do it. And they had false prophets in their day. And the false prophets would tell them that everything's okay. Your life is perfectly fine. God's not upset with you. Jeremiah's the only one that's actually bringing them a message from God. Now, it started back years prior to this. We discussed this last week. You had a generation of people who loved God, walked with God, enjoyed the blessings of God. God gave them and blessed them, and life was wonderful for them. But there came a generation where there were adults that decided they want to take a little bit of a different turn. And they started down a path away from God. Those that chose that path had children that walked in that same path. So one generation of people has children. Their children grow up, and about half of them serve God and half of them don't serve God. And it becomes to where now more are not serving God. And so as generations go by, you end up with a young generation who grew up in a household that was not instructed in the ways of God, that were not taught of God. That in fact, we got to the point where we even mentioned last week that you even get to a generation of people that don't even know who God is. Now, did it, and by the way, it still happens in our day and age that we live in. I personally believe that we're living in a generation where we have a lot of young people that have grown up in homes where they did not attend church growing up. And now when they become adults and then they have children, and if they're not attending church, their children aren't going to attend church. Now, there may be a few instances where maybe a child is reached by a friend that goes to a church. But you understand what I'm saying this morning, that when you start having generation after generation, and by the way, whether we want to admit it or not, you live in a day and age where there are less people going to church than ever in the history of the United States of America by population. When that starts to happen, you're headed down a path that's not going to be a good path. Now you get to the point where Jeremiah is now having to bring this message of God, and it's not an easy message to bring. It's not a positive message. It's not a, what we would want to call maybe a good message here. It is a message of warning that God is going to judge them. And that's where we get to chapter number 18. Let's look at verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, right? He gives him some instructions here. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So he's going to go to a potter's house. Now, everybody can kind of visualize this in your mind. what a potter looks like as far as a potter's wheel and a potter's house and what's taking place there. But now you have to understand something here. Very key in verse number 2, and we miss this often. He says, and there, at the end of verse number 2, I will cause thee to hear my words. Do you see that? There's going to be a visual of what he's going to see. All right, he's going to see a potter making a vessel here. You know the story. It's going to have a flaw in it. He'll take the flaw out. He'll refashion it. And he's going to make a vessel that's usable. All right, we have that all visualized in our mind. But you have to also understand, as he watches this illustration here, God is going to give him a message. You know, I think a lot of that applies to our life as well. Do you realize there's a lot of things that happen in your life that you may visualize, you may actually see it with your own eyes, you may witness it, things that are happening in your life. But you know, there's a lot of things that happen in your life, and here's what we miss often. God is trying to speak to you through those. You see, I don't think things happen by mistake in life. I believe that things happen in life on purpose. I believe there are reasons why God does things in our life or allows things to happen in our life, and so often, we get so sidetracked in life that we kind of lose focus that it's God that's speaking through those things that are happening in your life. So here it is. God tells Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. Now, when you get down to the potter's house, as he arises and he goes down to the potter's house in verse number 2, and he says, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Very important. Whatever's going on in your life this morning, whether you consider it maybe something really positive, you may look at it as something very negative in your life, you may be kind of in between, but listen, God is trying to speak to you in your life. And he's going to use the things that happen in your life to speak to you. So there may be some things happening in your life this morning, and we would be very wise if we would just open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to the voice of God and let God speak to us. You know, our problem so many times in life is we allow things to happen in life. We can't hear the voice of God because we're trying to solve all the problems in life, and God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to speak to me. I need to listen. So here it is, verse number 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. All right, so you find and you can visualize, he goes to the potter's house, he goes in, sure enough, there's the potter, he's sitting there, he's spinning the wheel, and he's making vessels that day. And that's what he would do for a living. A potter, that's how he made a living. He would take clay and he would mold it into a vessel that was usable. He would sell those vessels to people in the community. So here he goes on in verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Very well-known story, very well-known verse in verse number 4. In fact, if you've been in church in any length of period of time, you've probably heard many, many messages out of this one little illustration right here. But you have to understand here that God is giving a message unto Jeremiah about the people of Israel here. It is a prophetic illustration as well. And sometimes we kind of overlook some things that he's teaching here in verse number 4. So here's what we have. Jeremiah was to go to the potter's house. You're to watch. As you watch, God says, I'm going to speak my words unto you. I'm going to give you a message out of this. Not only are you going to be given an illustration, and sometimes we need visuals in our minds to help us. You know, sometimes we want to make life a little bit too complex sometimes, and we have to understand there are a lot of simple things that are happening in our life. If we would just wise up and open up our ears and open up our hearts, I mean, there's a message God has for us. So here we go here, the potter in the illustration that we have here. You have to understand the man that is molding the clay, the potter, is symbolic to God. Okay, the clay, all right, now most people will use it as an illustration, the clay is you. Well, actually, in context here, the clay is the people of God, the people of Israel, if you would. And he is molding that clay. That clay is marred.
You've heard all the sermons about how that he, as a human being, as an individual, we're all marred. And we are. We're all sinful people this morning. But this clay that is spinning on that wheel, it is marred. It has an imperfection inside of it. It has something inside of that clay that would make that vessel unusable. If the potter doesn't get that marred piece out of it, it would probably not, let's say it's going to be something used to hold water. It wouldn't hold water. It would probably leak. It has imperfections inside that clay. And so it's the job of the potter to make it again, as we find here in verse number 1. So the potter is God. And by the way, the potter, he has complete control over the clay. The clay, and by the way, the clay doesn't get to decide what it's going to be. The potter decides that. All the clay does is sit there and allows the potter to mold it. And you can visualize the clay spinning on the wheel and the hands of the potter there fashioning and molding. And it's pretty fascinating to watch actually somebody make vessels out of clay here. But the potter, he decides how the vessel will be shaped and what it's going to actually be when it's finished and what the final product's going to be here. And so the clay was, they're the symbol here of the people of Judah, if you will. The clay, another interesting note we need to make sure we note here, the clay has no voice in the matter. Right? The clay's clay. And if we want to kind of use it to illustrate us a little bit this morning, we have to understand that as you live life, God is continually molding you. And when there's imperfections in it, guess what? God has to do something with that imperfection. I've heard a lot of great messages out of this passage, and one comes to mind about, I heard a message, and the whole message was over this phrase in verse number 4. He made it again another vessel, and how he can take a broken down individual and how he can mold you and make you again. And that's true. But you have to understand that it's an illustration that God is using about the people of God here. How they had turned away from God. They were living in a very sinful lifestyle. They were very way off in their worship, very weird practices in their worship, and God is upset with them. Now, in verse number 4, when he mentions that he can make it again, that is also prophecy of the future, how that God is actually going to be able to take this very evil people and turn them around, and he's going to make them again. There's going to be a bright future for them in the future, and that will be also prophecy as well. All of this is a visual illustration to Jeremiah. And as he is watching this take place, God speaks to him and gives him a message. So in verse number 4, Jeremiah learned some things here. I think also Jeremiah learned, and I think it's very obvious here, God is in complete control. God is in complete control. No matter what's going on in your life this morning, and even though there may be times in life when we do not enjoy maybe a stage of life, God is still spinning that wheel, and God is still in complete control. I don't know if you've ever looked at it this way. I've often found in my life, I usually learn a whole lot more when I go through difficulties than I do the good times. It seems like we're a little bit more geared to learning through struggle than we are victories in life. The Lord, well, we'll move on. So you'll find the verse number 5, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, all right, so here's God speaking to Jeremiah as he watched the potter spin the clay, and as his hands are molding it, he noticed there was an imperfection in there. He does whatever he has to do to remake that vessel, to be able to use that clay to make something usable there. It was marred, and but yet the potter can still take it and use it and mold it. And now the message, verse number 6, is now the message that God is giving unto Jeremiah. Okay? Now let me say this. I don't know if maybe the message is a lot more important than the illustration.
The potter that we hear so much preached about, and the clay and the potter and the molding and the making and the remaking and making it again, and all, I mean, that's always the message that we hear preachers talk about, but it's amazing we never hear preachers talk about the actual message that God gives unto Jeremiah. And that begins in verse number 6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Question mark. Saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Basically, the message that God begins with, number one, can I not do with the clay as I please? Just like the potter did with the clay on the spinning wheel. Basically, God is saying, can I not do with you as I please? And the answer is, yes, he can. He's God. He's the one that's in complete control here. Now, the message doesn't end there. It continues on here. But in verse number 6, the Lord was the potter. Israel's the clay. And as God's the potter and Israel is the clay, God can do as he chooses with his people. And God is not happy with them. God is upset with them. As we have mentioned for weeks now, God is going to judge them. He's sending judgment. He's sending... And what is amazing here, and I've kind of failed to kind of mention this often throughout the weeks, the people of God, all they've got to do is repent and come back to God. It is as simple as that. And by the way, it's always been that simple. It's still the same principle applies today. When a person gets away from God, it's not that God just throws them to the side and says, you know, I don't ever, you know, there's never any hope for you. There's always hope. The hope is that you get back in relationship with God. You repent. You turn back to God. You get back in relationship with God. So, verse number 7 here, you'll find, and in what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So as he mentioned, you got to understand, this is the message. If a nation or a people or a person would repent and turn back unto God, guess what it will do? It can stop the judgment of God. Do you see that? Now, this is the message. Down to verse number 4, that was just the illustration. That's what we hear all the preaching about, is about the illustration. Now you're down to the message of God. Look at verse number 8 again. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, he says, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Pretty simple here. It all depends on you. It's your choice. And that's what God, that's the message God has given them. It's all in your hands. If you want the judgment of God to be spared in your life, it's very simple. You repent and come back to God. If you'll do that, God says, then I will change my mind about sending judgment upon you. But the same principle also applies this way. If you decide to turn away from me, if you decide to do evil, then I will change my mind about the good that I was going to do unto you. It's all your choice. Same principle applies today in our own life this morning. You know, it's our choice. We choose what path we take. We choose whether we do good or whether we do evil. And when we make those choices, you're actually deciding whether or not you get the judgment of God or the blessing of God. Same principle applies. You see, this is the message. All we remember out of chapter number 18 is just the illustration, which was the potter, the wheel, the clay, and the molding of that clay. God begins in verse number 6. He's giving them the message unto them. Verse number 11. Now, therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah. So he's telling Jeremiah, now I want you to go and give this message unto them. And he says, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem in verse number 11, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So he takes, and now he's delivering the message unto the people. Now, what's well known in chapter 18 is the potter, the wheel, and the clay. And it's all that is an illustration. And basically, the illustration was only for one person. It was only for Jeremiah. You see, God is using this illustration to speak to the heart and mind of Jeremiah so that Jeremiah would have a good understanding of the situation that we have here. And you get down to verse number 11, you find it's still the same message. It's a call to return to God and turn from their evil ways and repent and get back in relationship with God. And that message has been the message for thousands of years now. Hundreds and hundreds of years have people preached and taught that people need to turn back to God. What's this nation need more than anything? To turn back to God. Kind of sad. Look at verse number 12. Here's their response. And they said, there is no, what's the next word? Hope. There's no hope. Now that statement is a false statement. There is hope. There is a solution. There is a better day that can be had if they would follow the message of God. Verse number 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. How sad. How sad it is that the message has been given over and over and over to the people of God. In fact, God has even gone to the extent to take Jeremiah to the potter's house to kind of teach him and to show him the situation here. And the message is delivered. Jeremiah gives them the message beginning in verse number 6 here. And 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the message that Jeremiah gives unto the people. You'll find that in verse number 12, how do the people respond? They basically say, there is no hope. And I said that's really a false statement, but actually, you could even kind of debate me a little bit on that, because actually it is a true statement in some sense, because if they decide that they're going to keep walking in their evil ways and do everything that their evil heart imagines to do in life, guess what? There is not going to be any hope. You look at it two different ways this morning. And we know as a believer that there's hope, because as long as you're breathing air and still living, God's on the throne. By the way, he is still on the throne. There's always hope. But if you're not going to change your ways, and if you're going to live in your same old sinful lifestyle, and you're going to still do your same old evil deeds in life, and you're going to worship false gods, and you're going to worship idols that maybe you established in your life, and you're going to continue with your pagan practices of even sacrificing your own children unto some untrue god, and you're going to continue down that path, then there's probably not going to be any hope. They said in verse number 12, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. I think we live in a day and age where there's a whole lot of people doing the imaginations of their evil heart. That's why our day is very evil today. Kind of sad also if you look down. Well, let's go down to look at verse number 17. God, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. What does that mean? God is going to turn his back on them.
You know, when God turns his back, then maybe we can say there is no hope. Now, there is hope, and you'll find as you study and go on that there is a brighter day for the people of God. But boy, what does it take to get them to turn back? And because of verse number 12, it gives God no choice to go to verse 17. Where he's going to turn his back on the people of God for a period of time. And what's so strange here, and as it gets worse and worse and worse, you'll find in verse number 18, then said they, come and let us devise devices against whom? Jeremiah. Somebody said, you know, I got an idea. You know what our problem is? Our problem is Jeremiah. He's the one that keeps coming with this evil report and this evil message and this message of fear on every side. And that phrase is going to be used by some of the people. In fact, he will be labeled as the prophet of fear on every side. I'll tell you what we do. What we need to do is go after Jeremiah. Look at verse number 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor, he says here, counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Boy, that's a good response. Let's criticize the message of the messenger of God. It's his fault. How dare he come and preach this doctrine unto us over and over and over about how judgment is going to come and the people turns against Jeremiah. You'll find that they do. They slander him. They mock him. They make fun of him. They falsely accuse him. And they do everything verbally they can to destroy his credibility. You'll find as you get to verse number 19, or chapter 19. And by the way, it's kind of, I've always thought this a little bit odd when preachers preach a lot out of chapter 18, they never mention chapter number 19. Chapter number 19 is an interesting chapter as well. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. So he tells Jeremiah, I want you to go to the potter's house, and I want you to get a vessel. I don't know that I can say he gets the very vessel that he molded when Jeremiah was there. I kind of speculate maybe he did. I don't know that I can verify through the verse here that he does, but here's what God tells him. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go get a vessel down to Potter's house. In verse number 1 of chapter number 19. So he goes and he does. He'll end up getting that vessel at the Potter's house. Verse number 2, and go forth into the valley. You'll find, at the end of verse number 2, he says he wants him to proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So at the end of verse number 2, here's what happened. He tells Jeremiah, I want you to go to the potter's house. I want you to get the vessel. I kind of believe maybe he got the same vessel that he made when he was standing there, but I can't say for sure. I do know he does get a vessel from the potter's house. In verse number 2, he tells him, now I want you to go to the people, and I want you to give a message that I'm going to give unto thee. In verse number 2 here. And then you'll find that in verse number 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is going to be that message. He says, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. And so he's warning him that judgment is going to come. And you'll find here that judgment is going to come upon the people of God because of their sin. Okay? You'll find down at the end of verse number 8 that it will be such a violent, such a devastating time of judgment upon the people of God that carcasses are going to be everywhere. We mentioned this, I think, last week. You go out into the street, there will be so many dead bodies that as you walk down the street, there will be birds flying up from bodies that are eating on the carcasses of the dead. There will be wild beasts in the streets as well. Maybe dogs and wild animals that will be feasting on the flesh of the dead lying in the street. There will be so many dead people, you won't have time to bury the dead. In fact, there's not going to be a graveyard big enough to hold the amount of dead that's going to die because of this judgment that is going to come upon the people here. It even gets worse than that. Down in verse number 9 of chapter 19, and I will cause them, talking about the people, to eat the flesh of their what? Of their sons, and the flesh of their what? The famine and the war that's going to break out of their land is going to be so bad that people are going to eat the flesh of their own sons and their own daughters. Now, you have to understand here, we're talking about the people of God that were once in their life had a good relationship with God, close to God, walked with God, were blessed of God, and now you find them eating the flesh of their own children just to survive. That's pretty severe. I mean, you find them in a state here that, and they, you got to understand, they refuse to turn back to God. All they had to do all along is just repent of their evil ways, their evil doings, and come back to God. They chose not to do that. They chose to go even further away from God. And now you're going to see the results of the judgment of God upon their life. Verse number 10 is where I want to get to also in this chapter. I don't know that I've ever heard a preacher really mention verse number 10 of this next chapter. You got to understand, in verse number 1 of chapter 19, he was told to go get the vessel. He does that. He comes back. God gives him a message. He delivers the message unto the people. They are warned and they are even foretold how bad it's going to be. And then in verse number 10, he says, then shalt thou do what? Break the what? The bottle. You see, in chapter 18, you find the vessel being formed. That's what we hear so much about. In chapter 19, God breaks the vessel. May we understand this morning, and it ought to ring very, very clear in our minds, God can, yes, make that vessel, but God has every right, if he wants to break the vessel also. And in this chapter, he breaks the vessel. God is going to break the people, if you would, through this judgment. And I got to hurry here. Go to chapter number 20. In chapter number 20, in verse number 1 and 2, if you remember how that they chose at the end of chapter 18, how that they were verbally abusing Jeremiah, and they were mocking him, making fun of him, and they were using their words to slander him. In chapter 20, it gets worse than that. In verse number 2 in chapter 20, you're going to find they actually take Jeremiah and they smite him. Do you know why they smite him? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Why do you think they smite him? Why do you think they beat Jeremiah? They don't like the message. Now, I don't know that we've gotten to that point in life, but I tell you what, in our country, we're real, real close to a lot of that taking place in our own land. You'll find in verse number 2 here of chapter number 20, they smote Jeremiah, and then it says also in verse number 2, and put him in stocks. And the reason they do that is because they don't like his message. They don't like the message from God. So what do? They slandered him with their words, and that didn't stop him because you'll find he came back with more messages from God. So now they decide, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll beat him. We'll smite him. We'll put him in stocks. And we'll see how he does then. And to be honest with you, it has an effect on Jeremiah. In chapter 20, you get down to verse number 7. Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast what? You deceived me. You'll find in verse number 7, and he says, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah hits a low point in his ministry. You're not going to really believe this, but Jeremiah quits. Jeremiah says, I'm tired of this. I have done nothing but faithfully serve the true and living God. I have done nothing except take his message and his words time and time and time again. And I have walked right out to the people of God when I was the only one standing. And I gave them that message. And in return, all I get is slander. People lie about me. People mock me. People make fun of me. They beat me. They put me in stocks. And to be honest with you, Jeremiah thinks to himself, I don't deserve this. Now, let's be honest this morning. We can look at Jeremiah and be a little bit critical of him here, but you know what? I find myself just like Jeremiah sometimes in life. You ever get discouraged? You ever get disappointed in life? You ever kind of look around sometimes and say, you know what? I'm the only one. You've probably never done this, but if you ever thought, I have. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people that love God and good things happen to people that hate God. And by the way, it was a prosperous time for the people here of God during Jeremiah's, I think he has a 40-year ministry, I believe, if I'm not mistaken here. But in this time of Jeremiah, it wasn't that they were just, poor and couldn't, they were prosperous. And I don't know. I'm just speculating here. If it were me, I just put myself in Jeremiah's shoes. And if I looked around and I realized all the prosperity, how in the world could God allow these people to prosper when they're as wicked and vile and sinful as I've ever seen? You know what Jeremiah does? He says, God, you deceived me. And the only reason I'm in the ministry is because you were stronger than me. I didn't have any choice. And Jeremiah is discouraged, he's disappointed, he's tired of being lied about, ridiculed, he's tired of every time he probably goes out in public, people mock him, laugh at him, they say things about him. He's known as the prophet of fear on every side. You'll find that phrase, that's the phrase they gave unto Jeremiah. He's the prophet of fear on every side. He's always doom and gloom. And Jeremiah said, I'm tired. I'm tired of taking it from them. I'm tired of being beaten. I'm tired of being arrested. I'm tired of being put in stocks. And he gives up. You ever gave up? There's an old preacher kind of joke a little bit. Most all pastors quit every Monday morning. But by Friday, they come back around. There's a lot of truth to that sometimes. Jeremiah, in verse number 7, reaches a low point in his ministry. You'll find he's now even complaining. As far as I know, I think I'm right here. Up into chapter 20, Jeremiah never complains. He has faithfully served God, yet he's mocked, made fun of, beaten, hated, put in stocks. And he even says in verse number 7, God, you've deceived me. And by the way, we feel like Jeremiah a lot of times in life. You know, let's be honest, there are times when we feel like we deserve better than what we get. In verse number 9, he says, then I said, I will not make mention of him. Not doing it anymore. I'm not going to give any more messages. I'm not going to speak about God. I'm not going to talk about God. I'm not going to bring God's name up. I am done. And I've heard a preacher preach out of this one time, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. Verse number 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But, I like this, his word was in mine heart as a what? A burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I like that. Jeremiah said, I quit. I'm not going to speak his name. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. I'm not going to be claimed. I'm not going to claim that I'm of him and so forth. He said, I made all this decision. I decided I quit. I'm done. I'm through with it. He said, but there was something burning inside my soul. It's the word of God. He said, it got to burning in my soul, and he decided, you know what, I can't quit. Come too far now to turn back. He said, I got into a point in my life where I was down. He says, that last little part, he says, I could not stay. He said, I was down, I was depressed, I was discouraged, I had quit, I threw in the towel, but I couldn't stay there very long because of what was burning inside my soul. And you'll find that Jeremiah gets right back in the battle. But when you really go back and you study here, you'll find there is a brief period of time here Jeremiah quits. But it was the word of the Lord that was in his soul that kept burning in his heart. And you'll find that as you read on, you'll get over even to chapter 21 that he still delivers the messages of God. So he jumps back in. I don't think anybody ought to ever quit on God. And I think you hear a lot of messages about don't quit. You may get discouraged, but don't quit. You may get disappointed, but you don't quit. You may have tragedy in life, but you don't quit. Your heart may be broken, but you don't quit. And that's good, and I like those kind of messages. But I'm going to be honest with you, in reality, there's a lot of times I won't quit. You see, my sinful flesh wants to quit right now. And let's be pious this morning and sit in here and say that we've never had the thought of just quitting. He quit. If Jeremiah were the pastor of the church, he would have submitted his notice that I'm done. And we can't sit here this morning and say that we've never been discouraged, we've never been disappointed, we've never been depressed, we've never been to the point where we just don't know if we can go on any further, we don't know if we can make another step, we just don't know how we're going to make it, we don't think we can do it. But what made the difference in the life of Jeremiah is found in verse number 9. That one little word, but, changes it all. But his word was in mine heart. Man, what a message right there. You see, it wasn't the words of Jeremiah in his heart, it was the words of God in his heart. And that's what makes him get back up. Basically say, I can't stay here. I can't stay in this stage of depression and discouragement and disappointment and fear and discouragement and heartbreak. And he said, that may be happening in my life, but I can't stay here because there's something burning in my heart and in my soul and in my bones, and it's the word of the Lord. He said, I've got to get up from here. I can't stay down here. And he gets up. And he jumps right back into the ministry of God. What a message that you find even in this chapter here. Listen, our time's up. We'll pray and we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We pray for this day that you bless. Speak to our hearts. May your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.